Greetings, brothers and sisters. Hope everyone is doing well and ready for a new day. It's day three for this daily devotion, and we're on a subject, a balanced walk with the Lord. And yesterday we looked upon those two laws Jesus talked about, one of the scriptures are in Matthew 22, and the importance of applying it to our Christian walk, because we need this, we need those two to walk in balance before God and our fellow men. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray that you bless this day and continue to work in our life so it can be a vessel for you in any way you want us, and help us to walk in your ways always. So we lay this hour in your hands, and may you be our guide, we pray. Amen. So we can start in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." So Jesus says, it hangs, the two law hangs all, the law and the prophets. In this passage, I would like to go in really what the law is. And we know the Torah and the prophets, it's all pointing us to Christ. And there's a place you can read that Jesus spoke to the disciples after the resurrection, and it's in Luke 24 when he was on the shore, and he asked them, "Do you have any fish?" And that was when Peter jumped overboard and swam against him. But he said in verse 44 here, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I still was with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. You know, they had a really hard time during, you know, before the crucifixion and everything that happened. But now he comes here and explains everything for them. And he opens up so they can understand the scriptures. They were getting ready to go out in the world and preach the gospel. But he said, it was about me, concerning me, law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And in Matthew 5:17, we read, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it's all fulfilled." And then you can go to Romans 10, verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And that really means, since Christ has come, the law of Moses is no longer the way to be saved, because no anyone can be made right with God by believing what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this leads to this: as Jesus fulfilled it, and it's by faith. So the law is written on our hearts now, and we can be a living word of God as the body of Christ here on earth. Because if you read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And that's why he's speaking in Matthew 22, that it hangs on all the law and the prophets, because it's about him and what he did. And you know, he fulfilled everything through his life by all the attributes that is in God. And these two sides that I explain. But the cross is the center and it balances things out. But I want to look into the commandments, the Ten Commandments also. They were written on two stone tablets. And if we see the essence of the first five laws, it's really about the first law that Jesus speaks about in Matthew. It's about our relationship with God. So if you, I have the essence here, but in Exodus 20, you can read the commandments. And the first five is, you shall have no other gods before me. The second, you shall not make yourself an idol or bow down to them. Number three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord our God. And four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And number five, honor your father and your mother. And this you can call the vertical laws, the commandments, that it's our relationship to what's above us, God. And the fifth is our relationship to our parents, because they earn our respect and they are also above us. And the next step, the last five commandments, we can call the horizontal laws. It's about our neighbors and ourselves, how to treat each other. And of course, number six, you shall not murder. And you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. That means not desire your neighbor's house, wife, anything that belongs to them. So here you see, the law, the tablets, were also put in order how God is dealing with us and how we should apply to it. And when you see how God's people, the Israelites people, you can see their history and apply to our lives also. First, we must come out of Egypt, repent, turn around, come out. Egypt is out from the world, out from denominations, out from everything worldly. And then turn around, follow the Lord, go through your Red Sea. And that's the type of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Be cleansed in his blood and then receive the Holy Spirit that will seal you with eternal life and entrance into the promised land. Amen. And then with the Holy Spirit, you will be equipped to be a servant of the Lord and a help for your neighbor and for people and for your brothers and sisters. Yes. And in Matthew 6, we read about Jesus when he was asked by one of his disciples, "Teach us now how to pray." And here we can also recognize how Jesus is teaching us, not just to cite some words, but really how to approach our Father. We can read from Matthew 6, verse 6. "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have in need of before you ask him." So it's not only words like a formula that we just can quote, but going before God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So in verse 9, in this manner, he says, "Pray, our Father in heaven." There you come before him as his child. He's your Father. Trust him as your Father. And he knows you, and he know what you need. And he wants to have contact. He wants to have a relationship because he loves you. And then you start to lift up his name and worship him and thank him. "Hallowed be your name." And you know, that does something to you. His presence brings us closer to him. And this world fades away. And the next line, you pray for his kingdom to come. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask him to bring his will from heaven to earth. And I believe he has messengers, angels carrying his will from heaven to earth. And we can pray like Jesus in Gethsemane Garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's a promise that everything we pray for in his name, meaning after his will, it shall be given. So now I believe we have come to a point here where we can ask and pray for our needs and for our people around us, our neighbors, the horizontal line, as I mentioned before. Because then we pray, verse 11, "Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And that can be from yourself also. And then a reminder at the end, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And his kingdom, we can read about also in the, we can close up with the final scripture. It's at the end of the book, the good book, Revelation 22. And this is also about a law. It's from verse 1, and it's about the river of life. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruits every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations, for the people. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So pure crystal river is a source of life, and the fruits and the leaves are on the trees that are for healing for the nation. So here you see also, this is in the millennium, and the Christ is going to rule, and it's going to be with the law of Christ. But the pure river, water of life, that's God's Holy Spirit constantly coming out as inspiration and a help. And from there it will go out and be fruits, will be help for the nations, for the people. It's going to be a wonderful kingdom. But it's based upon the same order. It's the same way. You can read through all the Bible. And if you see in Ezekiel 47, he saw the same. He saw it. So there's something to look forward to. But we have a part of his kingdom here, because he has put his law inside us. So I hope that you get something out of this. I think it's wonderful to see how the whole scripture, the Bible, there's a thread going through it. And that really gives us a great understanding for what was, what is, and what's to come. So may the Lord bless you this day and be with you. Amen.